My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Please be seated. Here we are. It's the fourth Sunday of Advent.
Yay!
Right? And there's this incredibly kept secret that Wednesday is Christmas. No, everybody knows that, right? It's amazing. But again, we're in four Advents. We're almost there. And I hope you're all prepared. Hope you're all ready. We actually are a little earlier. We actually got our Christmas tree last week. But Amanda, mostly, she put it up this weekend. So we're ahead of the game from what we usually do. Sometimes we'll go and buy the tree on Christmas Eve, but you almost can't do that anymore because there aren't any left by that time, you know? But if you get one, it's really cheap. But we got it up, and it looks beautiful. Again, Amanda, in her wisdom, knows that she puts this tree up in front of, we have this full-length mirror that just hangs on the wall, and it has to stay there anyway. But if you put it in front of the mirror, you know, it makes it look bigger. It's really pretty cool. So it's kind of neat. But so we're making progress towards, you know, getting ready for everything. You heard me just pray the first line of the Magnificat, and that was the place of the psalm for today. I'm going to explain a little bit about that in a minute. And I said, my soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. And so we're going to talk about that, but before we get into that, it made me start thinking about things, you know, and in my career, I guess I would say fairly often, I would have to use a microscope and, you know, look at different things over time, you know, and we would look at skin cells and pathogens and, you know, terrible things like that. But, you know, you probably used a microscope at some point in your lives as well, too. You know, maybe it was in high school, maybe you had biology, maybe in college you had biology or general science, you know, and so you had this little microscope, and I remember back then, you had these terrible little microscopes that were just awful, you know, little single eyepiece you had to kind of, you know, like this, and it had a mirror on it, of all things, you remember the mirror, and you had to try and focus that so you got the most light you could get, you know, and maybe you could see something through it, I don't know. Then, you know, when I moved on into college and started using better microscopes and things like that, you actually got one that had an electric light in it. Wow, that's pretty cool. And a bifocal lenses, which is even better, so you could actually see with both eyes. And so things got better, and you could see better through this. And so, you know, we'd have to do that. And, of course, it was much easier to see small things, right? Microscopes magnify things, correct? They make them appear larger so that we can see them better, right? Magnifying glasses do the same thing. You know, probably should be wearing my reader glasses up here because they magnify things, but, you know, I don't know why I always forget to do that. But I can see it, so, you know, as long as I can see it, we'll get through this somehow. But magnifying glasses actually predate microscopes. They actually go back to the 1300s. Back in the Middle Ages, the first microscopes came around, or first magnifying glasses. It wasn't until, you know, just after the year 1600 that the first compound microscope came out. And so, you know, people have been looking at small things for a long time. And we know that these things help us see them better. They enlarge things, right? And so, of course, I was thinking about this as I was sermonizing this week. Sermonizing, you know, that's what you do when you write a sermon, right? And as I was praying over the scripture, my soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, okay? This is from Luke chapter 1, verse 46, the song that Mary sang, and it's called the Magnificat. It was even up on the screen there, Magnificat. And that's why I like using this translation that says, my soul magnifies the Lord, because it's the Magnificat, right? So that's why we did that. And I'll explain that a little bit more too. But it is considered one of the New Testament psalms. Okay? So you know that throughout the New Testament, many psalms from the Old Testament are referenced. Matthew is particularly good at that. But this one is actually what some scholars call a New Testament psalm. It's in the same form as one of the psalms from the Old Testament. And it's known as a canticle. And a canticle, you know, really cool word, you know, canticle. But what it means is little song. And so there are four canticles in the Gospel of Luke. Does anybody know of another one?
Song of Zechariah.
Yeah, but you know. The Song of Zechariah, yes, and that was actually just a little earlier in this chapter of Luke, chapter 1. Any others? There's one that you'll all go, of course it is.
Simeon?
It's Simeon. There's a good one. Yep, Simeon. That's in chapter 2 of Luke. What do you know? Just the next chapter over. And then there's one more, which is, you know, you don't really think about it so much, but it's the Gloria. The Gloria, the angels sing at Christmas. Yeah, okay. These are the four canticles in Luke. And we use them in the daily office. And if you pray the daily office, you hear them and you say them. But I want to talk to you a little about more about magnification like we all did. But we have to magnify something else today. And what we have to magnify is Micah. It's such an incredibly important and wonderful verse. We've got to go there. And so we're going to do this little mini Bible study. And I might recommend that you pull out your Bibles and dust them off. sorry, didn't do that to you. But let's go to Micah chapter 5 and see if you can find it. And I'll give you a second to do that. It's after Jonah, so just look for the whale. And then right after that, you'll find Micah. I think it's right before, is it Obadiah or Nahum? I can't remember. Poor Micah, I got that's a good one. All right.
I apologize.
Well, we're used to accepting your apology. Micah, chapter 5, verse 2. Sounds like the Bibles are close there. So, but you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come one for me who will be a ruler over Israel, whose origins are of old, from ancient times. Who do we think that's talking about? Anybody? The answer is always Jesus. So, yes, we're talking about Jesus here. This is an incredibly important verse right there that you heard. And you understand that it refers to the coming of the Messiah. All right? This is what they call a messianic prophecy. Okay? And there are a number of them in the Old Testament. This one, again, very important. This scripture right there, verse 2. So keep that one in mind. Again, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come one for me who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from old, from ancient times. Okay? Now, unfortunately, this scripture also got used in a bad way, too, and that was by King Herod. And he used this to kill all the firstborn of Bethlehem when he was trying to eliminate the Messiah. But most importantly, this scripture, it places the birth of the Messiah in Bethlehem. Bethlehem. Okay, that's why we know. Okay, and we all know that. We've all heard the Christmas story, haven't we? But that's what it's doing, is it's placing his birth there. And most rabbis from Jesus' time, so if we go forward to the time of Jesus, most of the rabbis accepted this prophecy, Micah chapter 5, verse 2. And so they were confused when Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee. You know, the Savior comes out of Bethlehem. He can't come from there. Nazareth, who's ever heard of Nazareth? And so they were quick to discount Jesus because of that, not knowing where he was really born. Okay? I mean, you know, prophecy also says the Messiah comes out of Galilee, and that's in another wonderful scripture, you know, Isaiah chapter 9, verse 2, just before you hear that wonderful scripture, "For unto us a child is born." Okay? But both prophecies are correct. That's the thing. He was from both places. All right? He was born in Bethlehem, yes. So he lived and grew up in Galilee. Just like I was born in Asheville, but I live in Grove and whatever I do. And Chandler. And you know what is funny is that I don't see anywhere in the scriptures there where, you know, they actually tried to correct the Pharisees and say, what, he was born in Bethlehem? He was born in Bethlehem? Come on. I don't think it would have made any difference. It's a big thing, right? They were made up their minds. So, if we continue on in Micah, okay, you're still there. You've still got chapter 5, verse 2 in front of you there. Let's look at verse 3. Therefore, he will give them up until the time when she who is in labor has given birth. Then the remainder of his kinsmen will return to the sons of Israel. When she who is in labor, this prophecy through Micah is not only about Messiah and where he comes from, but it also mentions his mother. Okay? She who is in labor and has given birth. And many sources call this a prophecy of Mary. Of course, we've been talking a little about Mary. I've mentioned to you the Magnificat, you know. So there you go, an incredibly important verse, and it just keeps going on because then we get to verse 4, and he says, he will arise and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty, in the name of the Lord his God, and they will remain because of that time he will be great to the ends of the earth. This one will be our peace. Now that's a beautiful prophecy right there. And it just continues that messianic message. As we were talking about, he is the good shepherd. He is our peace. He is the Prince of Peace. Right there, just in those few little verses. Micah, so important. You see what I mean? What a great scripture this is. And it's part of the Christmas story. So always remember that. Micah, okay? Now, we're going to jump way back up to the Magnificat, okay? We talked about magnification, microscopes and magnifying glasses and reading glasses, and this allows us to see and examine things better, like I already told you. It allows us to get closer to them, like a magnifying glass, okay? Well, what is it, then, to magnify the Lord? Because it was in the Magnificat, you see. Well, into the same thing is to allow us to see and get closer to him and understand the Lord better. So again, this messianic prophecy, which, you know, the Magnificat is, in Luke 1:46, my soul magnifies the Lord and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. Magnifies. As I said, I like that translation the best. Because, you know, it is a magnification kind of thing. But the Greek root word is megalouno, and I pronounce that right because, you know, on my program, the little, you know, speaker guy, when you push the button, it says megalouno. It's translated in a couple of different ways, okay? It's translated a couple of different ways. Exalted, magnified, you know, made larger. These are different ways. And you'll find that in different translations of the Bible. It will be different in some places, just like you saw the Book of Common Prayer version that we had up on the screen was different than what I've been reading to you, which comes from, I think it's in New King James, but it's also in New American Standard Bible 20, which is what I've been using mostly today. So magnification or magnify is one of those words. The root word, the very root of that comes from megas, mega la uno, right? You heard that? Like that's where we get mega millions from. And those kind of megalomaniacs, right? And megalodon and megalithic, you know, all big things, right? Large, you know, that's where it comes from. That's the root word. Magnify, to exalt, to make bigger. Okay. It's used in other places as well too, like Paul uses it in 2 Corinthians chapter 10. He says, not boasting, but having hope when your faith is increased that we shall be enlarged by you. Megalouno. Okay. And again, Luke uses it, chapter 19. This became known to all those who lived in Ephesus, both Greeks and Jews, and fear fell upon them all, and the name of the Lord Jesus was being magnified. Mary, the Blessed Virgin, speaking in worship, because she was worshiping in that moment, says that her soul exalts, enlarges, makes great, magnifies the Lord. She's speaking in the Spirit. We're singing in the Spirit. So her soul magnified or enlarged the Lord. Mary did that. Now there's a forerunner of Mary as well too. And this is Hannah. You all know who Hannah is, right? This is the mother of the prophet Samuel. Okay? You have to go way back to the first book of Samuel. And you remember a little bit about Hannah, right? She couldn't have children. She was barren, as they say. And, of course, that was a shame at that time in her time. And so she prayed in the temple, and God heard her prayer, and she was able to become pregnant. And this was a miracle. And the child Samuel was born and was dedicated to God. And he became an incredibly powerful prophet, the one who anointed David king. And in 1 Samuel 2:21, and you know, she is already given birth to Samuel, and it says, the Lord visited Hannah again, so she conceived and bare 3 sons and 2 daughters then. And the child Samuel grew before the Lord. Megalouno, before the Lord. Same word as magnified or enlarged, okay? You see how that scripture starts to come together so much. New Testament, Old Testament, it all meshes together like this. Micah, Samuel, Isaiah, Luke, and it just keeps going on and on and on from there. Okay? If we back up, there's even more. If we back up in Samuel, that first book, chapter 2, verse 1, then Hannah prayed and said, my heart rejoices in the Lord. My horn is exalted in the Lord. My mouth speaks boldly against my enemies because I rejoice in your salvation. Does that sound familiar at all to you? It's similar to the Magnificat. Very similar. Sounds like that. Hannah is a forerunner of Mary. And Mary, filled with the Holy Spirit, and we don't know whether she had read the book of Samuel or she knew scripture, if she was studied, some people believe that she was proclaiming in her spirit the state of her soul. As she sang, my soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. And this same Mary, who is greatly gifted and blessed, beyond all, did exactly what such greatly blessed people should do. She magnified the Lord. And just for Father David, I include a quote from Martin Luther. Okay, he said of Mary, he said, here is a poor young woman, Mary of Nazareth, not highly esteemed, but of the humblest citizens of the village. No one is conscious of the great wonder she bears. She is silent, keeps her own counsel, and regards herself as the lowliest in the town. She didn't magnify herself, but she magnified the Lord. And just like Mary, our forerunner, our role model, our spiritual mother, we magnify the Lord as well. You were starting to wonder, what does all this have to do with me? It's because we magnify the Lord as well. We are also of Mary. Our souls exult. Our souls grow in the Lord. Our spirits rejoice in God our Savior as well. You see, every time someone accepts Jesus into their heart, that soul then glorifies and exalts God. Just your faith alone, whether you do anything at all, your soul magnifies the Lord, and your spirit rejoices in God your Savior, just because you have faith. It's happening right now, okay? And we know that there are many, 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 many Christians living now, and those who have gone on to greater glory, all exalting the Lord with their soul. Just like I'm picturing John, you know, his image in Revelation of heaven. You know, he says, after these things, I looked and behold a great multitude which no one could count. That's mega millions, by the way. From every nation and all the tribes, peoples, and languages standing before the throne and before the Lamb clothed in white robes and palm branches in their hands. Souls magnifying the Lord of hosts. And that's where we all are now. See, there are no geographical barriers to that right now. That vision, you know, is of those who have gone before us. Yes, but we are there as well, too. Our souls are magnifying the Lord. Your soul exalts the Lord. Just your very belief in Jesus expands and grows the kingdom. I think that's a responsibility. Well, no, because he gave you the faith, too. It's all him working through you, making your soul magnify him, your spirit rejoicing in God your Savior. And see, your spirit, because, you know, we all think we have a spirit within us, right? Living. And it's living with his spirit inside of you. Because, you know, the Holy Spirit is within you. So you are dwelling together. And your spirit is in constant presence of God the Spirit. How could it not rejoice? Think of that. Your spirit gets to live and dwell and enjoy the Holy Spirit at all times. You're standing before the throne and before the Lamb right now, worshiping him, just as in the book of Revelation. And like Father Bill was encouraging you last week, because it was Rejoice Sunday, we rejoice in this. Your spirit is rejoicing all by itself. It doesn't need you. That's kind of silly, because it is you. So let me explain that a little more. You see, I believe that your spirit rejoices in God, whether you're aware of it or not. Again, the Holy Spirit is right there with you all the time. And I think that our consciences, our consciousness gets so wrapped up and worn down in the earthly and fleshly problems of the world, you don't always know that you're rejoicing. But you see, your spirit can see beyond those things. It sees the place that's the better place. It can see the mansion prepared for you. It has a mansion prepared for him, just like our colleague said today. The Holy Spirit dwelling in you. And so you can choose to acknowledge this incredible rejoicing, to enter into it, and to rejoice always. As Father Bill told us last week. Put it another way, there's a party going on inside you right now that you can join in with anytime you want. You know, it's got confetti and all kinds of stuff going on. Little horns. I'll say it again. Rejoice! Your spirit rejoices in God your Savior. So join in. So back to magnification again. Because that's two parts to this scripture that I was just talking about. The first was magnification. The second one is rejoicing. It allows us to see and examine things better. Allow us to get closer to them. Your soul magnifies the Lord. Makes it larger so that you can get closer to him. So that you can see him better. Through your faith, you can explore more and more of that infinitely large and wonderful God. It's not like we make him bigger, because that's an impossibility. He's infinitely large. But he can appear bigger to us. And therefore, we can probe the depths of him more and more and more, understanding him better and better, understanding his voice and being able to hear it in those small times when you're alone. And just like that, your soul makes the Lord appear larger to other people as well, too. You are the magnifying glass that allows other people to see God. to see Jesus, the Savior. You are the lens that focuses on Jesus and makes the Prince of Peace clear to those around you, especially in this season. Those dancing spirits inside of you do that, yours and his, together in the party. And you know that when you take a magnifying glass and you focus the sun's rays, you know, onto something, and it makes it catch on fire, right? I don't want you to go out there and burn the hole in somebody, okay? Or just be yourself out there. Yes, you. Your soul magnifies the Lord to others. Be yourself and just walk in the Spirit's rejoicing. The first step in that is just realizing it. That's all you have to do. Just recognize that it's going on right now. Just in that one little verse is all you got to remember. My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. Just like Mary. That's what the Magnificat is all about. There's a lot more. And there's a lot more that I could go into. I tell you what, I so much enjoy, you know, getting into the scriptures this week. I hope it shows to you. But, you know, there was so much more I wanted to tell you all about. Because, you know, Luke chapter 1, and the whole chapter is just an incredible chapter. And we could go on and on and on about it. And I had to cut things out. Oh. But Luke chapter 1 prepares the ground, and it sets the stage for the coming of Messiah. It sets the stage for Christmas. And that's why it appears here in Advent 4, right before Christmas. Because first of all, Zechariah gets a visit from Gabriel, right? And then Elizabeth gets pregnant with John. And then Mary gets a visit from Gabriel. And then Mary gets pregnant with Jesus. And then Mary and Elizabeth come together. Everything is prepared for the coming of Jesus Christ. The first chapter of Luke is very interesting as well, too, because it begins with this introduction, you know, where he says, my dear Theophilus, you know, I endeavored to write an account of, you know, the things that have happened, and he studied it carefully, and I'm just paraphrasing right now. But then he goes on into the story I just told you about of Zechariah, and he, the old Greek, he wrote that introduction in perfect, and correct me if I'm wrong, but correct, academically correct Greek. But then as he starts into the story, it's written in street language, common language that a common person would understand. And so Luke is saying that I know what I'm talking about, but this is for everybody, not for me. I'm not trying to exalt myself, just as Mary didn't exalt herself. Little things like that that you find out just in the first chapter of Luke. And then guess what? Tuesday night, you're going to hear chapter 2 of Luke. Wow. Just cool stuff going on there. And it's throughout this whole scripture. In this time of the year, it all comes together. The book of Samuel, like I showed you. The book of Isaiah, like you're going to hear more about. The book of Micah, like you just heard about. From the beginning of time, the Messiah comes. And he is magnified in our vision, our consciousness, our very existence. We can see him better. We can understand him more. Our souls magnify him and glorify him. Your soul magnifies the Lord, just like a lens, making him come into focus for you and for others around you as well, too. So the people say there's something a little strange about that person. Your spirit rejoicing in God your Savior. It is right now, right here, in this moment. So join the party. Prepare for the coming of Jesus Christ. Amen.